few weeks back, you may have heard about the very sad situation in our neighboring diocese of Wheeling, Charleston, West Virginia, as an investigation determined that the former bishop, Michael Bransfeld, was guilty of years of sexual misconduct, massive financial mismanagement, and lavish spending of church money. One wonders what Jesus might have had to say to Bransfeld today, and to all bishops and priests. Maybe something like we hear in today's gospel. Take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions. Of course, this passage from the gospel today, along with the parallels in the first and second readings, applies to all of us. But in a particular way, it must always apply to bishops and priests, who are given the most precious gift in their ordination. And in that gift they are, as Jesus says today, rich in what matters to God. Now, this does not mean that a man who is ordained is himself necessarily holy. We see too many cases where they're not. Bishop Bransfeld has one example. But the gift of priesthood itself is holy, no matter what. And while a priest's sins do insult the gift of priesthood, they do not take away from the gift itself, so that a sinful priest can still offer a valid Mass, confect the Eucharist for us, and forgive sins. Even so, a priest should do everything he can to be worthy of this immense gift that he receives, and to worthily share it with the whole church. Of course, this is necessary for the good of his own soul. Remember the servant in the other parable that says, it talks about the talent that he was given to him and he buried. And the master said of him, "Cast this worthless servant into the outer darkness." Or St. John Chrysostom put it so succinctly in the 4th century. He said, "Hell is paved with the skulls of bad priests." But more important than that, since the priesthood is meant not for the priest's well-being, but for the benefit of the whole church, the priest must strive for personal holiness for the good of the church. Think about it. A priest is called to confect the Eucharist and to give the body and blood of Jesus to his people and to forgive sins and administer all the sacraments to his people. But he's also called to teach them about the life of Jesus that the Eucharist and the sacrament brings to them. As St. Pope Paul VI once wrote, "Modern man listens more willingly to witnesses than to teachers." And so a priest is called to be a witness to Christ by leading a holy life. And by that holy life he leads, instruct others and encourage others to be holy in their own lives. More than that, a holy priest is truly open to the fullness of the graces that God has in store for him as a priest. For example, by the power of the sacrament, any priest can, even a terrible man, can forgive sins in confession. But a truly holy priest will also be guided by the Lord to know what to say to help and to convert the penitent. A truly holy priest will be open to the guidance of the Holy Spirit in preaching, teaching, counseling, and consoling his people. And finally, a holy priest offers more efficacious prayer for his people. St. James tells us in the scripture, he writes, "The prayer of a righteous man has great power for his people." So imagine a truly holy priest, a righteous priest, a saintly priest, standing at the altar with the body of Christ in his hands, praying for you. There can be no greater human prayer in this world than that. One of the great examples of this sort of priest is a saint whose feast we normally celebrate today, August 4th. This year we don't celebrate it, at least liturgically, because it falls on Sunday. Sunday is the Lord's Day, and that overrides all the other celebrations. But this priest is the patron saint of parish priests and recently also made the patron saint of all priests of the church. He was known to many as the Curé of Ars, or Saint Jean-Marie Baptiste Vianney, John Vianney. He was born in 1786 into a family of devout Catholic farmers in a small town near Lyon, France. When he was only about 4 years old, the French Revolution broke out, and its reign of terror began to wreak havoc on the church in France, and in particular began the execution, imprisonment, and deportation of tens of thousands of priests and religious. So during those years of persecution, many of the faithful priests that survived had to go underground. And their pious families would hide them, give them shelter as they moved around from place to place to minister the sacraments. One of those families that sheltered priests during the Reign of Terror was the Vianney family. So it's no wonder that young John, inspired by these holy and courageous priests, fixed his sights as a child on following them into the priesthood, so that when the persecution finally ebbed, by God's grace, he was ordained a priest at the old age at that time, of 29 years old. And 3 years later, he was named the pastor, or the curé, of the tiny hamlet of Ars. Now, Ars had never recovered from the revolution, and Catholicism and morals were in a shambles. Very few people went to Sunday Mass, and in a town of about 250 people, there were four bars. 250 people, four bars. But the new curé was determined to change this. As he told a young boy who gave him directions to get to Ars when he was lost, he said to him, "You have shown me the way to Ars, I will show you the way to heaven." St. John Vianney began very small, but with great zeal. He spent his own salary to repair the church and to buy beautiful vestments and vessels for more fitting worship of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. He visited his parishioners, especially the sick. He preached and taught the catechism regularly. He spent long hours in the church praying and waiting for his people to come to confession. And he celebrated the Holy Mass with profound reverence. There was nothing more important to him. As he would say, "All good works taken together do not equal the sacrifice of the Mass, since they are merely human works, while the Holy Mass is the work of God." He waited and waited, and he was alone many times in the church, but eventually, witnessing his personal holy example and unrestrained love for Jesus, people started to come. At first from Ars, then in the neighboring villages, and then from all over France. So there was estimated at about somewhere around his 27th year in Ars, there were 20,000 people coming to visit him every year. In that little town of 250 people, 20,000 people came to visit this simple priest. But then again, maybe not so simple. Reports soon began to spread of his miraculous healings of the deaf, the sick, the blind, and the lame. Word spread of how the devil would attack him in the evening, in his room at night, sometimes even throwing him around the room physically. But most of the phenomenal reports came with regard to his ability to read souls in and outside of confession. Often he would remind a penitent in great detail of a sin that they had neglected to confess. People he didn't even know, people from other places completely. And he had read their souls to see the sin. All these, of course, were special graces from God, but they came to St. John because he had made himself completely open to those graces. In short, they came because he was a truly, deeply holy priest. But while these things tended to attract the crowds, it was something much simpler that led them to actual conversion. It was the example of the holiness of life that exuded from St. John. His love for Jesus and his people was manifest in every word and action. His example of purest chastity led many sinners to purity, as I would say that he, quote, radiated chastity. His poverty of life and sacrifices showed them how to give all to God. He gave literally everything he had for his parish, either to his parish or to the poor. He would fast constantly, eating only one daily meal of a cold potato soup, if he had that at all. And he would sleep only 2 to 3 hours a night so that he could have time to keep up his busy schedule during the day, especially his 12 to 18 hours a day, every day, in the confessional. And his humility was a hallmark of his life. Once, very early on in his pastorate, the neighboring priest signed a petition to the bishop demanding that the curé of Ars would be removed because he was incompetent. The bishop wound up rejecting it because as he read it and he looked down at the bottom and there he saw the last signature signed by Père Father Jean-Marie Baptiste Vianney. He signed his own petition to be removed because he was incompetent. But all who knew him would say that all this came from and led back to his love and devotion to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. His poverty of spirit showed in the torn cassock that he wore constantly, but that he would cover during Mass with the most beautiful vestments he could afford for the glory of God. His love for his people was evidenced as he tenderly called them to receive our Lord in Holy Communion. He would say, "The soul hungers for God and nothing but God can satiate it." His chastity shone like a beacon, as they said. He gazed upon the Holy Host with immense love, showing them his single-hearted desire for God alone. His self-sacrifice for his people shone through whenever he would offer Mass so devoutly. As he said, "What a good thing it is for a priest each morning to offer himself to God in sacrifice." And his humility was nowhere more evident than in the presence of the Eucharist. As he would say, "I throw myself at the foot of the tabernacle like a dog at the foot of his master." This is the example of holy priesthood that Holy Mother Church holds out to all priests, including bishops. But she holds it out to you too, as she reminds you not to be discouraged by bad priests, but to praise God for the gift of the priesthood and for the gift of good priests. And to demand that all priests and bishops at least strive to pursue that goodness. And to pray for your priests that they may be open to the fullness of the grace of the priesthood. For in spite of all the scandals, we must remember the greatness of the gift that you receive in our priesthood. As the Holy Curé of Ars wrote so clearly and beautifully, he wrote, "Oh, how great is the priesthood! Only in heaven will the priest realize what he is. Were we to fully realize what a priest is on earth, we would die, not of fright, but of love." Now, these were no words of vanity or exaggerated self-importance, but the words of the humblest of men who was overwhelmed with awe for the gift, the sacrament that he'd been given, and its responsibilities. And so he would also say, the priest is not a priest for himself, he is a priest for you. It was a year ago, yesterday, actually, that I first preached about the scandal of the now former Cardinal McCarrick. And now we have the Bransfield scandal, and I'm sure the next year will bring, sadly, more scandals. All this can lead to great discouragement, both with priests and laity alike. But then we remember that Jesus knew that there would always be weak and sinful priests and bishops, like Judas in the very beginning, and McCarrick and Bransfield and their friends today. And so Jesus also gave us bishops and priests like St. John the Apostle, who stood, in contrast to Judas, stood at the foot of the cross faithfully. And, of course, St. John's namesake, St. John Vianney, who stood faithfully in his parish at Ars. And we remember that for all the truly evil bishops and priests there are, we also know so many priests who sincerely strive to imitate the truly holy priests like those two St. John's. And so we must never be discouraged, but be invigorated by their holiness. As we now move more deeply into the mystery of this Holy Mass, let us recognize the incredible gift that the priesthood is to all of us. And let us also recognize how terrible it is to abuse that gift. But also, we thank God for the gift and for the good priests who accept and embrace that gift for His glory. And pray for those priests and all priests, that they may always strive to imitate the many great and holy priests that have come before them, especially their great patron, whose feast we celebrate today, St. John Vianney. And let us pray that all of us, laity, priests, and bishops, may, as Jesus says, take care to guard against all greed, against all immorality, and strive to be rich in what matters to God. Praise be Jesus Christ. St. John Vianney, pray for us.